The following message from Pastor Greg Laurie is made possible by some special friends of this ministry. Pastor Greg?
I wanted to say a special word of thanks to the Harvest Partners who make this ministry possible.
Next time you're online, check out Pastor Greg's personal blog at blog.greglaurie.com.
The Lord wants us to pray to Him. Pastor Greg Laurie says we see in the Lord's Prayer how God wants to hear from us daily.
Father in heaven, give me this day my daily bread. He didn't teach us to pray, give me this year my yearly bread. You know why? If God provided everything you need all in one fell swoop once a year, guess how often you would pray? Yearly. So give me this day my daily bread.
This is the day.
How many times have we run out of options and solutions and we think to ourselves, well, all we can do now is pray? Prayer should never be a desperate last resort. A prayer is powerful. John Wesley said prayer is where the action is. We're in the middle of a study about prayer here on A New Beginning. Today, Pastor Greg Laurie brings us some practical insights on how to pray more effectively and how God sincerely wants us to come to Him in prayer regularly. Let's listen.
You know, life's a lot easier when you pray about things. And that's why we're looking at the Lord's Prayer. It shows us how to pray, how to bring your needs before God. And you have needs, I have needs, we have problems, we have questions. This is why we need to pray. Because prayer, among other things, is God's appointed way for us to obtain things. There are things you need in life and God will provide them for you through prayer. James 4:2 says, you have not because you ask not. Maybe you wonder, why do I wander through life never knowing the will of God? Question, have you prayed about it? You have not because you ask not. Hey, why is it that I have this illness and I've gone to doctors and no one has been able to help me? Hey, have you prayed about it? Maybe you have not because you ask not. Why do I have this financial problem and I can't seem to get on top of it? I've tried everything. Have you actually prayed about it? You have not because you ask not. Now, I think you know me well enough to realize that I'm not saying God will always heal you or God will always give you all the money you think you need, but I am saying that there's a place for asking the Lord to provide for our needs. And so pray about it. So let's talk about how to pray. Look at Matthew 6, starting in verse 9. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, we know that this prayer can be divided into two sections. I pointed out the first three statements, your kingdom come, your will be done, deal with the glory of God. The final statements deal with the need of man, and that's what we're focusing on now. Our needs. We've already discovered that we should pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. What does that even mean? It means honored be your name, set apart is your name. It's acknowledging the greatness of God. To pray hallowed be your name is to say, Lord, I want to set you apart in my life and character. I want to live a life that honors you. So periodically, I need to ask myself as I look at my interests, my ambitions, my pursuits, is this for the glory of God? Can I write, hallowed be your name over this, over your career, whatever it is you do? Can you write, hallowed be his name over it? Or maybe the friends you hang out with, can you write, hallowed be his name over your close circle of friends? How about the TV programs you watch or the movies you see or the music you listen to? Can you write, hallowed be his name over it? Listen, if you can't ask the Lord to bless it, then don't do it. You should be able to ask the blessing of God on what you're about to do. So he says we should pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This reminds us that the primary objective of prayer is to first line up my will with the will of God. True praying is not overcoming God's reluctance. It's taking hold of his willingness. Listen, prayer is not about getting my will in heaven. It's about getting God's will on earth. And if you want to see your prayers answered in the affirmative, that's a secret. That's the key. Find out what the will of God is and start praying that way. You say, how do you know the will of God? It's right here in this book. It's right here in the scripture. The more you read it, the more you understand it, the more you'll discover what God's will is for you. Listen to this amazing promise of Jesus in John 15. He says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. A better translation would put it this way, Jesus speaking, if you maintain a living communion with me and my words are at home with you, you can ask at once for yourself whatever your heart desires and it's yours. Ooh, well, I want this and I want that. Hold on now. Go back to the conditions. Jesus says, if you maintain a living communion with me and my word is at home in you, see, that's going to change the way that you pray. So God wants us to discover his will. It's sort of like if I'm in a boat and I want to get to the dock and I throw my little boat hook toward the dock. Am I pulling the dock toward me or am I pulling myself toward the dock? Well, I'm pulling myself toward the dock. In the same way in prayer, am I pulling God my way? Here, God, do what I want you to do. No, I'm pulling myself God's way. So we should pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Here's a personal petition, verse 3. Give us this day our daily bread. It's an amazing thing, but God Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth, cares about you and he cares about me. Job writes in Job 7:17, why do you make so much of man and give him so much attention? Why would God care about me? I don't know, but he does. He loves me. He loves you. And so when you come to him with a need, he's interested. Even earthly parents do that. Jesus said, you parents, if your child would ask for a loaf of bread, you don't give them a stone instead. If they ask for a piece of fish, you don't give them a snake. If you sinful parents know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? This is showing that God wants to give you this day your daily bread. Now, when we talk about bread in the first century, it was a staple of the diet of an average person. They had bread with all of their meals. They would have bread morning, noon, and night. And you remember many occasions where Jesus broke bread with people. Jesus would multiply the bread, the loaves, and the fishes. And then Jesus broke bread in the upper room with his disciples and used the bread as a symbol of his body. After he was resurrected again from the dead, Jesus sat down and had bread with everyone. So clearly, no one was on the Atkins diet in the first century. You know what? How many of you have gone on the Atkins diet? Don't be embarrassed, I have. The best day of the Atkins diet is day one. The worst day is day two. Day one, it's like, what can I eat? Okay, don't eat any carbs. No bread. Okay, no bread. But you can eat steak and chicken and fish and you can have cheese and you can have eggs and you can have bacon. And when you get, if you get a latte in the morning, you don't get it with low-fat milk. You get it with half and half. It's called Breve Latte. Man, I go on that diet first day and say, this is the greatest diet on earth. This is a man's diet. Day number two, I am dying for carbs right now. I want pizza so bad. I would be happy for a wadded up piece of Wonder Bread right now. I'll take anything. I don't know about you, but if you know we're in a restaurant and they offer dessert, I can say no to dessert, but I cannot say no to freshly baked bread. I love it. I've talked a lot about food in this message, haven't I? It's almost pathetic, really. But really, when we say, give us this day our daily bread, we're not just talking about bread, we're talking about everything. You know, back in the 60s, we used to call money bread. How many of you remember that? Hey man, got any bread? Yeah. That meant, can I have money from you? So we're saying, God, provide everything. Here's a loose paraphrase. Lord, give me 3 square meals a day. Lord, put a roof over my head. Provide the needs that I have in life. Give me this day my daily bread. And by the way, it's interesting that phrasing give us this day. When you ask someone to give you something, you're acknowledging they own it. You're also acknowledging you need it. They don't owe it to you, and you don't deserve it. This verse does not say, pay us. It says, give us. Pay me my daily bread. God doesn't owe you any money. He doesn't owe you anything. So, Lord, give me. It's a different position. I demand, pay me. No, it's more like, you have it. I don't have it. Could you give it to me? I'm dependent. You're independent. But I need this from you. So, Father in heaven who loves me, would you give me this day my daily bread?
Pastor Greg Laurie will have the second half of his message in just a moment. It's a privilege to bring these studies from Pastor Greg your way, and we're encouraged to hear when they've helped people.
Dear Greg, thank you for your daily devotions in my email. They've helped me as I deal with chronic pain every day. I have also shared them with several people close to me who are going through cancer. It helps them too. I open your email every morning, first thing, and it encourages me to get through the day. It's like opening a present. I hope you receive many letters that thank you for your anointed words. Keep the faith.
We will keep the faith and continue to bring you these daily studies from Pastor Greg. Has Pastor Greg heard from you? Why not let him know how this ministry has impacted your life? You can email Pastor Greg at greg@harvest.org. Again, that's greg@harvest.org. Well, we're learning today just how much insight there is in the Lord's Prayer. And Pastor Greg continues now with his message, how to and how not to pray.
So this prayer not only tells us to ask God for our daily needs, but it's an affirmation that everything I have ultimately comes from Him. James chapter 1 verse 17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes from the Father of lights. Everything you have has been given to you by God. Oh, hold on now, Greg. I worked very hard to buy this shirt. I worked very hard to amass the fortune I have and the great things I've accomplished. I've done it all. Well, you know, maybe you worked hard. Maybe you were very clever in the way you invested your money, and that's fantastic. But just remember, it still came from God. Deuteronomy 8:18 says, remember the Lord your God, for it is He that gives you the ability to produce wealth. So I'm thanking Him for His provision in the past, and I'm asking for His provision in the future. But listen to this. God promises to provide your needs, not necessarily your greeds. It's not give us this day our daily pie or cake or whatever it is, you know, just, Lord, give me what I need. Now, God often gives us above and beyond that which we could ask or think. He's very generous, your Father in heaven. But my point is, we need to ask Him. Now, that doesn't mean you sit around like a lazy bum and say, Lord, provide. Lord, I'm just going to sit down on my big, fat, lazy boy, on my big, fat cushion. Well, what'd you think I was going to say? Gosh, you're in church, please. And I just pray you'll provide for me. Lord, I just read the story of Elijah and the ravens and how they brought food to him. Lord, just have the ravens cruise through In-N-Out Burger. Give me that burger Greg was talking about, animal style with chopped jalapenos. If they have time, if they could go through Krispy Kreme, that would be nice too. Make sure the sign is on. I like them hot. Make the birds hurry, please. And I'll just be waiting here. Well, you can wait all you want. No birds are coming, buddy. Because you need to get up and go get a job. Well, that's very insensitive. It's actually biblical. The Bible says if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. 2 Thessalonians 3:10. Look, if you're able to work, go work. Well, it's not the job I want. Well, do something else until you find the job that you want. But be responsible, be resourceful. And don't be lazy. That doesn't honor the Lord. And then be a good steward. That means take the resources God has given you and invest them back into His kingdom for His use, for His glory, so more people can hear the gospel. Notice it says, give me this day my daily bread. He didn't teach us to pray, give me this year my yearly bread, or give me this month my monthly bread, or even give me this week my weekly bread. Give me this day my daily bread. You know why? If God provided everything you need all in one fell swoop once a year, guess how often you would pray? Yearly. It was all just sitting in a room. All the food you would need, all the money you would need, all the everything you would need, just walk in, get it. Would you thank the Lord every time? I doubt it. So he keeps us dependent upon him. He gives us what we need when we need it. Not usually before, never after, but he provides grace to help in time of need. So give me this day my daily bread. It's an amazing relationship that I could call on God, and that God would listen, and that God wants to be my father. Now let me come back to one final thought before we close. You know, some of you may say, well, I don't know God this way. I do say my prayers, but I don't really feel as though God is listening. Well, listen, he's listening. But if you want God to answer your prayer, you need to get rid of a problem that's hanging things up. And that problem is called sin. And we're all born with it. We all do it, some more than others, granted. But one sin is enough to keep you out of heaven. This big giant wall that I cannot scale called sin, S-I-N. Well, I'm a good person, Greg. I'm sure you are. But you know what? You're actually not good enough to get to heaven. Because all have sinned, the Bible says, and fallen short of the glory of God. That's where Jesus comes in. Because there was no way to get rid of this barrier that separates me from God, Jesus came and died on the cross for our sin. The Bible says it's not that God's ear is heavy where he can't hear you, or his arm is too short where he can't save you, but your sins have separated you from him. But because Jesus died and paid the price for my sin, if I will turn from that sin and believe in Jesus, communication is open to your Father in heaven. Only the Christian can call him Father. A non-believer can call him that, but he's not their father. Say, well, how does God become your father when you become his son or daughter? Well, how does that happen? You have to be born again. Jesus said you must be born again, born spiritually. The Bible says, for as many as received him, he gave them the power to become children of God. So you must say, Lord, I admit I'm a sinner and I receive you. I ask you to forgive me, and Christ will come and live inside of you, and you can start this wonderful relationship with God. I talked about those two guys that went to pray. One guy had all of his eloquence and all of his boasting and talked about how wonderful he was. Jesus said God didn't hear his prayer. But then the other guy wouldn't even lift his eyes to heaven. He was so embarrassed by the wrongs he had done. And he just prayed this, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus said God heard that prayer. See, if you'll just come and say, God, I'm sorry. I have no excuses, but have mercy on me. Forgive me, a sinner. God will hear that prayer, and you can go from being a sinner to being a saint. By the way, I am a total saint. You probably didn't know that about me. Well, Greg, how many miracles have you performed? You don't have to perform miracles to be a saint. Saint is just another word for a believer. And when you become a believer in Jesus, you're a saint. That doesn't mean you're perfect. We still sin. That's why we always need Jesus. But you are forgiven and right before God. And before we close, I want to just extend this invitation. If you've never believed in Jesus, why don't you do it right now so you can walk out of here a saint instead of a sinner, a believer instead of a non-believer, headed to heaven instead of to hell. Oh, why'd you say that? Because it's real. And God doesn't want you to go there, and we don't want you to go there, but ultimately it's up to you. We pray that you will believe in Jesus, but you have to say, I want this for myself. Do you? We're going to close in prayer right now. And I'm going to extend an invitation to any of you here that have never believed in Jesus. You're not sure that he's your Father in heaven, but you want him to be. You're not sure you'll go to heaven when you die, but you want to be sure. You don't know if you're ready for the Lord's return, but you want to be ready. If so, respond to this invitation as we pray together. Let's all pray. Father, our Father in heaven, thank you that you hear us right now. And now we pray for friends and loved ones and others that are listening and watching who don't know you yet. Lord, we pray right now for them that you'll open their spiritual eyes and help them to see their need for Jesus. There's no words that we can say to make them believe, but you can touch them. Help them see. Amen.
Pastor Greg Laurie with an important word of prayer. And if you'd like to make that kind of change in your relationship with the Lord today, Pastor Greg will come back in just a moment to help you do that before today's edition of A New Beginning concludes. And if you'd like to preserve this practical insight for the future, get in touch for the title How To and Not To Pray. Just go online to harvest.org. You know, Pastor Greg, we're making available the book, I Still Believe, by Jeremy Camp. Of course, most of our listeners know Jeremy Camp for his music, but his story is riveting. It deals with his brand new wife's terminal illness. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes the Lord heals someone miraculously right before our eyes.
Yes.
Sometimes the healing comes in that they're taken home to heaven, mm-hmm. in ultimate healing, if you will. And Jeremy talks about feeling angry when he'd hear of someone else having that first kind of healing, you know, an earthly healing.
Yes.
He wanted that kind of healing so much for his wife. He prayed for it so often. What do we do with those feelings when someone isn't healed in the way we want and in the way that we pray for?
Very hard question to answer. I've had those same emotions myself, of course, because after the Lord called our son Christopher home, you know, I would look around at people with, 10 children, and they're all healthy. And I had two sons, and one of them was taken. And it made no sense to me. And there are certain questions that will be unanswered this side of heaven. I wish I could answer that question for you. But when life is bad, God is still good, and God is still in control, and God loves you. So, as I've said before, when you don't understand what's happening, fall back on what you do understand. Don't trade what you do know for what you don't know. What don't you know? Well, what you don't know is why you're going through the hardship you're going through or why your loved one is. But what you do know is God's in control. God loves you. God promises ultimately to work all things together for good to those who love him. And we know there's a heaven. We know there's an afterlife. And that's very important because that means that if our loved one is taken from us and they die in faith, we will see them again. So they're not only a part of our past, they're also a part of our future. And in the case of Jeremy and his wife, Melissa, they had just gotten married. They had a beautiful honeymoon, and they were newlyweds looking forward to life. The cancer was gone, and they felt that it was part of their past, and the cancer came back with a vengeance. And actually, when she was in the hospital room, suddenly, all of the pain and pressure of that cancer left her body, and she said to Jeremy, "Jeremy, the Lord just healed me." So he ran out of the hospital room to grab a doctor. He was so excited, and then she went right into the presence of the Lord, and he was devastated. He was on the floor in a fetal position, not understanding why God allowed this to happen. Well, in a broad sense, Melissa was right. She was healed, but not in the way that they were hoping. The pain was lifted from her. She was taken into the presence of the Lord. But he's taken this story and he's made a movie out of it, and it's going to be coming out very soon. And I've seen this film already. It is a powerful film. You will not want to miss it. It'll be in theaters nationwide and ultimately all around the world. But hey, we've got the book for you. And you know what? There are things in this book that Jeremy has written that didn't make it into the film. You only have so many minutes in a film. There's a lot of details in this book that will really help you. In fact, I can't think of a better way to prepare yourself to see this film than to read the book first. So that's why we want to rush you a copy of the book written by Jeremy Camp, which is called I Still Believe. Oh, yeah, it'll bring a tear to your eye. It'll also bring a smile to your face. It's a love story. It's how people deal with tragedy. And it's a book that gives hope even for people that feel they're in a hopeless situation.
Yeah, it really is a moving story. And we want to send this resource your way to say thank you for partnering with us. We so much appreciate our harvest partners, those who believe in the work we're doing each day here on A New Beginning and in our nationwide evangelistic outreaches called the Harvest Crusades. They make an investment each month in teaching believers and sharing the gospel with those who don't yet know Christ. And to our first-time Harvest partners and all those who give a one-time gift today, we'll send Jeremy Camp's book called I Still Believe. You can write us at A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514. Or just go online and give securely at harvest.org. Well, Pastor Greg, if somebody listening right now knows that they need to make a change in their relationship with God, they can do that right now, can't they?
They really can. And I think some people might say, well, what, pray while listening to the radio? Absolutely. Because guess what? Jesus Christ is with you right where you are right now. And if you want Jesus Christ to come into your life and forgive you of your sin, if you want to invite him into your life, why don't you pray this prayer after me right now? In fact, I would even encourage you to pray it out loud. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I want you to come into my life and forgive me of my sin. I thank you for dying for me on the cross and then rising again from the dead. I choose to follow you from this moment forward. Be my Savior, be my Lord, be my God, and be my friend. Thank you for loving me and calling me and forgiving me. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Now listen, as you just prayed that prayer, maybe you felt something emotional. I've had people write me and tell me of how they prayed with me at the end of our radio broadcast and tears came down their cheeks, or they felt a great joy. Maybe one of those things happened to you, or then again, maybe you felt nothing. Listen, irregardless of how you feel right now, I want you to know a fact. If you prayed that prayer and meant it, Jesus Christ has come into your life. Why do I say that? Because the Bible says, these things we write to you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. That verse doesn't say, so you can think you have eternal life, or hope if God's in a really good mood, you may have eternal life. No, it says you can know it. And if you just prayed that prayer and meant it, Christ has come into your life. So let me say to you, welcome to God's family.
And we'd like to help you get started in living your new life for the Lord. We'd like to send you some free follow-up materials called our New Believers Growth Packet. Just get in touch and we'll send that packet right out to you. As I said, it's free of charge. And a special thanks to our Harvest partners and others who support this ministry for helping us to make these resources available. Here's our mailing address, A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514. Or go to harvest.org and click the words, Know God. Are you receiving Pastor Greg's daily devotions? Get these inspirational thoughts in your email box every day. Sign up free of charge at devo.harvest.org. Well, next time, Pastor Greg has more insight from his informative series, Learning How to Put the Principles of the Lord's Prayer into Practice. Join us here on A New Beginning with Pastor Greg Laurie.
The preceding message from Greg Laurie was made possible by Harvest Partners, helping people everywhere know God. Sign up for Pastor Greg's free daily email devotions at harvest.org.